Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of... What is the name of the show again? This is Why We Watch Movies. Today, I'm joined by my good friend and roommate, Landon Higgs. Say hello.
Hello.
And, of course, I'm Brian Hutchins. So, it's been a bit over a year since we last recorded an episode, and by we, I mean me. But something very important happened today. We have the 96th Academy Awards nominations that just came out, and me and Landon are going to go through them with our opinions over the actual nominations and also who we think might be getting it, and then we'll chat a little bit about it at the end. We're coming to you from the UNCW Library Podcasting Studio. There's a small piece of Hershey's chocolate in between us. And, yeah.
We're going to fight over that.
We're going to fight over it later. Stay tuned. All right, so the first one on this list for me, and I think it should be the same for you, is actor in a leading role.
That is correct, yeah.
Cool. So between these, there's five options. We got Bradley for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti for, did I say that right? Or is it Giamatti?
I think it's Giamatti, but I could be completely wrong. I have no idea.
And that's irrelevant. Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer and Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. So looking at this list, and this is not just from the other award shows, my gut instinct tells me Paul Giamatti. I don't know where you're going, but
to me, probably Cillian Murphy, I feel like, is kind of where I'm at on it. I personally would probably vote for Cillian Murphy, but I'm not going to be mad if Paul Giamatti wins.
See, that's the thing, is that personally, I really love Cillian Murphy, and I know you're more of a Cillian Murphy fan than I am.
So. I'm not a fan. I'm a fanatic.
Okay. You know, fan is just a shortened version of fanatic.
I'm fully aware, but I got to be very clear.
Okay. You're a king that stands tall. I like
that's
that.
That's true. No, the thing about this group to me is Bradley Cooper is the one that kind of stands out for me, is the one I'm like, I may have left him off this list. That may be a hot take. I don't know.
I don't think that's a hot take. I mean, I literally heard a professor earlier today say, that they were watching Maestro last night and fell asleep, but it seemed cool.
There's interesting parts of Maestro for sure. I don't know, but to me, I would have probably put Leo in over him on this one. I'm going to be 100% honest on it.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. Leo's been snubbed this year.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy, especially for Bradley Cooper, who to me did not give as good of a performance.
No. I mean, I haven't seen Maestro full clarity. I've only seen holdovers in Oppenheimer at this point. I'm actually, the way that you feel about Cillian Murphy is how I feel about Jeffrey Wright, by the way.
That's totally fair. Yeah. Like, he seems like the nicest guy, number one. But number two, he's just great in everything. I've never seen him do anything.
No, I mean, probably his worst role that I've seen is like as Felix Leiter in 007. And that's just because he was barely in it.
Right.
Like,
he was underutilized, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, and he was not in two of the five movies, but. Anyways, I think that we're going to be split on that between Giamatti and Murphy. So
and I think either way, we're both going to be happy with that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if either one of them win, we're both like, yeah, that makes sense.
Right, yeah. I mean, the one that doesn't make sense is Bradley. And, yeah. I mean, Colman Domingo as well. I think that he's a great actor. I realized I've seen him in a lot more stuff than I knew I had.
Here's what I'm going to say is I'm actually shocked he wasn't nominated twice.
Interesting.
I definitely, in the next category, we can talk about it, but...
Yeah.
To me, I think that I was shocked.
Well, and so I assume you're talking about Color Purple?
Correct, okay. Yeah.
Yes, so for actor in a supporting role, our nominees are Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction, Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Gosling for Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. Yeah, that is shocking that he's not in this listing either.
Yeah, I think that this is a weird one. Like, this category is strange. I feel like it's... In my opinion, and this is definitely not good. This is definitely a hot take. I don't think Robert Downey Jr. should be here.
I mean, honestly, I don't consider him a supporting actor in Oppenheimer. He's a co-lead.
He's definitely a co-lead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to me, not having Colman Domingo as Mister from Color Purple is kind of crazy, honestly.
Yeah. Wow. So when I looked over these this morning, because for context, we're filming this the evening. Recording this, we're not filming right now. the evening that they came out, but they came out this morning at like 9 a.m. So I did look at them, did not notice that, but I've seen The Color Purple a couple times now. And I have to say, Domingo is fantastic.
He's great. I have not seen American Fiction, though, so I can't comment on Sterling K. Brown. I'm assuming that he's great because I've never seen him do anything where he wasn't. But
have you seen The Predators?
I don't think
I have. Or no. The Predator. That was the Predator remake he was in.
Oh, the Shane Black one?
Yeah. He wasn't great in that.
I don't remember him being in it, but I will trust you because that movie was pretty bad.
I don't particularly remember that movie, but I remember him in that movie. So, yeah. So out of this list, I mean, the performance that I think it's probably going to go to may be shocking.
I think it's going to be Gosling.
I was about to say Gosling, right.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's... Yeah.
I don't know. The thing with the Academy is it's a bunch of old white people that don't actually watch these movies, and they all know about Barbie.
I also weirdly feel like it might actually just be Robert Downey Jr.
I mean, yeah.
But again, I don't necessarily think he's in this category, but, you know. Right. If he wins, it is what it is, and I won't be, like, angry about it. So whatever.
This really is the Barbenheimer category right here, is actor in a supporting role. For some reason, it ended up being this one. But, yeah. Sure. My money's on Gosling, but we'll see what happens. And this is actually coming from a Christopher Nolan fanboy. Like, I want Oppenheimer to win, but I know, like, it's probably not going to.
I mean, personally, I would love to see Mark Ruffalo win, but... I don't see it happening in a million years.
No, and also, his performance, was it that great?
I think so.
Okay.
I think it was just, yeah, he was out there, man. It was great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, to our dear listeners, context, I'm not a fan of Poor Things. Landon loves it, so this is the biggest point of contention in our relationship, minus The Last Jedi.
But I will say, both of our favorite films of last year did very well nomination-wise, so.
This is true.
We can both be happy in that, even though we don't necessarily agree.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay that you have the wrong opinion, pal. So leading back into the Barbenheimer debate, I think that this next category, actress in a leading role, very interesting that Margot Robbie is not nominated for Barbie.
Yeah. This one was shocking.
Would you like to run over the nominees for us?
Sure. We have Annette Bening from NYAD. Which I never even heard of until today. I saw that it was on Netflix, I guess, but I didn't know that this was a thing. Lily Gladstone from Killers of the Flower Moon. That one was kind of obvious. Sandra Huller from Anatomy of a Fall. I was very excited about that one.
I still need to see that.
Carey Mulligan from Maestro, and then Emma Stone from Poor Things. I think this one, to me, it's... I'm happy with Lily or Emma.
So I was going to say, I think it's going to come down between Emma and Lily, and I would prefer it to be Lily Gladstone.
This is kind of like the Robert Downey Jr. thing, is to me it feels weird that she's in a leading role in this. Like, I don't know why this is the category they put her in, because I feel like most of that, like, the middle part of that movie, she kind of disappears.
That's true.
Like, it's definitely, like, Leo is the lead. I don't know if I would even call her a co-lead of that movie.
Yeah.
So this was another one where I was like, they may have just hurt her chances just for the sheer fact that, like, Emma Stone is in every scene of Poor Things. Well, almost every scene.
Almost every scene.
But,
right.
Like, she is 100% the lead. She carries that movie, where Lily Gladstone, like, when she's in the movie, she's fantastic. But she just disappears for a while.
That's really fair. And I will say another one, I haven't seen Maestro yet again in this category, but... I am a big fan of Carey Mulligan's earlier work. I haven't seen a lot of her films recently.
She's good in the movie.
Right.
But the problem is you just don't care about the rest of the movie.
That's generally the case with a lot of these.
Like, she's probably the best part of a movie that I just thought was okay. But, yeah, I haven't seen NYAD, so I'll probably have to check that out. But so I don't have much of a thought on Annette Bening in that.
Is it NYAD or NIAD?
I have no idea.
Okay, I was just going to go with it, but cool. So we're between Gladstone and Stone.
Yeah.
I'd be Gladstone. Okay.
That's awful. All
right. I know. Actress in a supporting role. We have Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple, America Ferrera for Barbie, Jodie Foster for NIAD or NYAD, and is it Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers? Looking at this list... My gut instinct is Divine Joy Randolph for the holdovers.
I don't think it's going to be close. Like, I think that, yeah, I think she's winning.
But this comes back down into the supporting versus leading role. I mean, I feel like Emily Blunt and Oppenheimer, not a supporting role.
I think she's underutilized that movie. That's why I was shocked that she was nominated.
Exactly.
Most of the movie, she just kind of sits in the corner.
Right. Well, that's kind of what her character does.
Right. That's my point. Like, yeah. I don't know. It was just, I was surprised by this nomination out of most of them. And then Jodie Foster again, NYAD. I don't know where this movie came from. But for me, this category, I think there's two people that I thought performance was the best of the year, which would have been Divine Joy Randolph and Danielle Brooks out of these two.
Yeah, and Danielle Brooks was Sophia in Color Purple, if I'm not mistaken.
Sophia was the
one that was thrown in jail.
Yes, Sophia, yes.
Spoilers for The Color Purple, a book that has been around since the 80s.
I think it's been around longer than that.
No, it was written in 1982.
Okay.
I've become like a Color Purple expert recently. I actually, on the way into the studio, I saw it on a shelf of banned books, and I was thinking about checking it out on the way out. Fun facts. But yeah, I think that it'll probably be Divine. So
interesting. Yeah, I think so too. I don't think it's even close.
No. So for animated feature film, we have these nominees. You can go ahead and read it this time.
We have The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Right. And so out of these five, I think I've only seen Elemental and Spider-Verse.
Okay. So, yeah, I've seen Spider-Man Across Spider-Verse and The Boy and the Heron, both of which were great. I've not seen Elemental, but to me, I don't know. It's crazy because Suzume came out this year, and, like, I thought for sure that'd be on this list of, like, of best of the year, because that movie was great.
I mean, fair. And I think as well, Pixar just generally always gets a nomination at this point. I don't feel like Elemental was that great. It is good. I actually recommend you watch it, but it's like a not as interesting version of Inside Out.
Okay.
Where, like, their elements are their emotions instead of just being the emotions. But that's probably a really weird take. I liked it, but it's not A-tier Pixar for me.
Well, I also think that Suzume was better than The Boy and the Heron 2, which I think The Boy and the Heron's good, but Suzume was much better. But I think this category doesn't matter. Like, no. I think that this one's an obvious winner, which I think it's Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Of course.
Like, yeah, it's running it back. It's getting another one at this point.
I was kind of surprised that TMNT Mutant Mayhem wasn't nominated this go around here, but
yeah, that was, you know, another one that I was shocked by. I could, but again, I haven't seen Elemental and I haven't seen the other ones nominated, so they may just be great. I don't know.
I think my Letterboxd rating for Elemental and TMNT is the same, but the animation style in TMNT is much cooler, so yeah. I don't know, but that's all personal preference, of course. But yeah, I think it's definitely going to be Spider-Verse. Let's see, the next category on the list is cinematography. The nominees are El Conde, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I have an opinion on this, but we probably don't link up.
We have very separate, different opinions, I can tell you that now.
So, you know, the actual title of this award is Achievement in Cinematography for the year 2023. And when you look at these films, there's a movie that used analog effects and was the first time that black and white was used in IMAX. It's Oppenheimer. Like, so much of it, I don't think it pushes the format forward, but it is so refreshing to see a film be that analog in this day and age that I think that in and of itself is an achievement. And also, I just really like Hoyt Van Hoytema, so.
I actually agree with most of what you just said.
Amazing.
But to me, and I know you don't, I know you hate the cinematography specifically, but Poor Things is gorgeous. Like, at any point in that movie, it's like literally every frame is a painting. Whether you like that painting or not.
Yeah, it's like a painting that a middle schooler would do.
But my top two, okay, first off, no. But to me, it's the top two for me are Poor Things, which I think is number one. And then right behind it, if it wins, is Oppenheimer. I'm not going to be mad. Because, again, it looks, both of them, used black and white beautifully too. I have to say that. Like a right. lot of these actually did, but no, those two for me, I think, are the choices.
And so on that note, I haven't seen Maestro, and I'm not familiar with El Conde, but I will say, I didn't find Killers of the Flower Moon to be that impressive from a cinematography standpoint. There are other areas that the film shines, but I don't see it in that one, so I was surprised it was nominated.
I mean, I don't want to say that it was not good. Like I
no, it's good, but I wouldn't say it's an achievement.
And I haven't seen it since we watched in the theater, so I don't necessarily remember much of any specific element that I like latched onto with the cinematography there. So
and that's fair. And then, yeah, I just have a big disdain for Poor Things, but this may surprise you. I do think it's probably the second best on the list. So we're just kind of flipped.
That's good to know.
Yeah. This is one of the awards that I don't think it should win, but there is one coming up that I do.
But just so you know, this is being recorded, so I can play this back at any point.
I don't care. All right, so costume design. You want to read the list?
Sure, yeah. Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things.
So it may surprise you that I didn't realize it was next. This is the category I was talking about. I actually do think Poor Things should win for costume design.
I agree. Yeah. I think that this one was pretty obvious.
Yeah. Like me. Oppenheimer, maybe because of the sheer number of costumes, but it's not like they really designed them. That's just what they did. But you get what I'm saying. Like that's just classic menswear.
Yeah, I mean, also Killers of the Flower Moon is also up there for me.
Yeah,
Oppenheimer's probably third on this list. Well, I don't know, maybe fourth behind Barbie.
Yeah,
I really like the costumes in Barbie too. But to me, Poor Things,
they were just enough.
They were enough.
They were enough to get nominated.
They did.
But yeah, I think Poor Things obvious choice here. All right, we're about to get into the weeds right now with directing. Oh, you're fine. Someone has just interrupted the podcast. That's okay. Directing. So the nominees are Anatomy of a Fall. I think they went to the wrong door.
I think they did.
That's hilarious. Next time we use the lock. Actually, that gives me anxiety too, like being locked out. Irrelevant. This is our first time in this space, so we're all trying it out. But for directing, Anatomy of a Fall, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. I've not heard of The Zone of Interest.
The Zone of Interest is very exciting to me. I've yet to see it, so I can't really comment on the directing in it. But Jonathan Glazer's last film, Under the Skin, is amazing.
Oh, this is the... Okay, I've heard about this one. I just didn't know the title.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it gets a release around here in February. I know that it was going to Aperture and Winston around that time, so maybe they're going to try to pump it out wide at that point. But this list, again, comes down to two people. I think they're going to be the two people for everything at this point.
Scorsese and Nolan?
No. I think it's Yorgos and Christopher Nolan, and I think Christopher Nolan's probably going to win it just based on how I feel the Academy voters are.
Right.
Like, just to, nominate Yorgos is probably enough for them, but I think that he was better, but I'm also like, Christopher Nolan probably did some of his best work here, so
yeah,
I can't be mad.
So I've been ranting in my shared office space about Oppenheimer for a while. That's not entirely true, but I do think that it's Nolan's best work in a very long time. At least since Interstellar, but possibly, ever, but that's off the point. So my money's on Nolan, but we'll see how that goes. Now we have the documentary feature film. The nominees are, Bobby Wine, The People's President, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, and 20 Days in Mariupol. Or did I say that right? Mariupol? I'm very bad with pronunciation.
I think you're close enough. I have not seen any of these.
No, this is actually the first year in a while I haven't seen any of the docs on the list.
Yeah, I need to be better about that in the future. This year I haven't seen any of them for that. Yeah, so I don't have much to say on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll go to the one that wins.
I think that might be true, actually. Yeah, I can't disagree as much as I would like to.
All right, so for a documentary short film, we have the ABCs of Book Banning, The Barber of Little Rock, Island in Between, The Last Repair Shop, and I'm not going to attempt this one, Nainai and Waipao.
That sounds close, yeah.
I don't know. Directors Sean Wang and Sam Davis. I also haven't seen any of these, unfortunately.
No.
Little Rock, that's in America, so I'm going to go with that one.
That might be the worst take I've ever heard.
Hey, one of my good cohort mates is... That came out wrong. One of my good friends that's in my cohort is from Little Rock, so represent.
I hope that, like, most years they used to do, like, a screening with all of the shorts. And I would like to see that, hopefully, that it gets done around here before the Academy Awards, but I don't know that it will.
Yeah, I mean, if the Thalian Hall Cinematheque doesn't pick it up, I don't think it'll come through.
But. Yeah, that's kind of what I think.
So... Oh, well. Film editing, we have the nominees.
Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things.
Yeah, so between these, to me this is a pretty obvious answer, but I could be wrong. This is actually a category where I've seen four of the five films as well, and I think you've seen all five.
I have seen all five, yeah.
I'm in the Oppenheimer camp just because I think it balances the different timelines and perspectives extremely well, and that's an undertaking in and of itself because it was filmed out of order. But I mean, that's the case for all of these, but I think Oppenheimer just does it exceptionally well.
Okay. I mean, that's definitely an opinion. To me, I'd probably put Oppenheimer third on this list.
Ooh.
And Killers of the Flower Moon's editing was one thing that I was pretty interested in. Obviously, Thelma Shoemaker and Schoonmaker, I guess that's how you say your name, has worked with Scorsese for decades.
That's true, yeah.
And those two just, again, just knocked it out of the park. But Poor Things is probably second on that list.
That's okay. I'll let you have that.
But I'm not going to be mad if Oppenheimer wins.
I'm not going to be mad if any of these win, honestly. I think that it's actually a pretty good category.
I agree. Anatomy of a Fall is also an interesting one because just dealing with the subject matter they were dealing with, they walked a tightrope really well, and the movie never got stale and boring. So that was a feat in and of itself.
Yeah. Well, moving on to the international feature film... We have Io Capitano from Italy, Perfect Days from Japan, Society of the Snow from Spain, The Teacher's Lounge from Germany, and The Zone of Interest from the UK. Similarly to the doc category, I haven't seen any of these, but the only one I've really heard anything about is Society of the Snow.
You've also heard of Perfect Days, because we have seen the trailer together. It is the Wim Wenders movie.
Oh, that's the one that we talked about that we're like, it's not going to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So the only one of these that I think maybe is available for us is Society of the Snow, because that is on Netflix.
Correct.
So I'll try to watch it before. But the rest of them, I don't know that we're going to get them in this area. Or they may be available on Apple TV. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I think some of them are probably available for streaming specifically, but I don't know if we'll have... A theatrical release.
Yeah.
All right, makeup and hair styling. You can take this one away.
All right, we have Golda, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Society of the Snow. This is going to be a surprise because I'm going to go a different direction on this one than mostly. I think Oppenheimer
had
the best makeup.
I'm glad we can agree on something.
We can agree on this. I think that the old Cillian Murphy makeup, and Emily Blunt, but like, I think that just that alone was impressive.
Right. I've seen a lot of old people makeup in my time, specifically from like watching Doctor Who, and it's normally not good. Like it's normally bad. And so Oppenheimer's the first time I've seen it, and it's really convincing.
I will say, though, Maestro, I think that their makeup in that might be, like, that is something I could see sneak, like, just being a sneak win.
Sure.
Because, yeah, the makeup in that's really good, too.
Yeah. From my understanding, quite consistent.
Very consistent.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, cool. So, really between those two, I think Poor Things has a potential for it, but there wasn't as much makeup and hairstyling in this that stood out as much as there was the costumes.
Correct, yeah. Costumes and production design, I think, are the two things and Poor Things that are just, like, to me, are head and shoulders above everything else. But, yeah, so that one I'm not that shocked by.
Well, for some shocking things, though, I think we can move on to the original score section.
Shocking is an understatement.
There's a movie in here I'm very surprised it was nominated for this and this alone.
I have thoughts, but go ahead. You can announce them first.
So, American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. So, let me go off and state, I do think that Oppenheimer is the only one of these that I've really returned to and listened to. Obviously, I haven't seen American Fiction, but out of the other four, the Oppenheimer score kind of slaps, I must say.
Yeah. I'm going to start by... I'm going to make a statement now.
Please.
It's the fact that I live in a world where I have to say that Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny is an Oscar-nominated film.
Well, so is David Ayer's Suicide Squad.
It's painful to me.
Here's the thing. I think that it should have been nominated, but in a different category.
Maybe.
And that's to get into the weeds of it. How far down is that? It's quite a ways away. Okay, I do think that Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny could have stood a chance within visual effects. And this is kind of a hot take, but it's because if you look at the face replacement or de-aging effects that ILM has been working on for Lucasfilm over the past, like, I'd say since 2020, when they did Luke Skywalker for the first time in Mandalorian, and how far along that's come since then. The entire opening sequence of Indiana Jones 5 with young Harrison Ford was really good for what it was. I don't know if I've seen de-aging that was consistently that good like that before. Maybe The Irishman, but that one even looked a bit janky at times. Not that this one didn't, but I think that Dial of Destiny had the potential to be nominated in that category because of that specifically.
Here's my big problem, is that you put Dial of Destiny in, and you leave Spider-Verse out, which to me...
For original score, right.
Is crazy.
That is insane.
Like, but regardless, I'm going to sound like a broke record here. I think that Poor Things has a great score. When I watched it last night, the score, I think the theater we watched it in the first time, just the speakers were not as good. But the score really worked for me yesterday. But the one that I actually think is probably fits the best for its movie is Killers of the Flower Moon.
I agree.
It's not something that I'm going to go listen to on its own, but within the world of that film, I think it works brilliantly. Like, that's the one that I would pick.
Yeah, I actually kind of agree with that. Because the thing with Oppenheimer is, even though I enjoy the score is not like what you'd think of for a 1940s biopic inherently. And Killers of the Flower Moon had, like, it wasn't bluegrass, but it was kind of like an Americana sound, if I'm remembering that correctly. So, yeah. Now, I think, in my opinion, this is heavily between Flower Moon and Oppenheimer, but...
Probably,
There could be an argument made for Poor Things, and of course, I haven't seen American Fiction, but... I know it pains you to say that Indiana Jones 5 is nominated. It pains me that John Williams actually did write the score, and it's not bad. It's just not, it doesn't push it forward beyond what we've had before.
It's just like one of those things. It's if he has a score out in a year, he's just going to get nominated for it.
Right.
And it's not that this score is bad inherently, but to be honest, I don't remember much about it.
No, I remember the dun-dun-dun-dun.
Like, I remember the iconic stuff.
Right, yeah, that already existed.
But, no, to me, Spider-Verse should have been in this category.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, anyways, Spider-Verse has been snubbed from a few categories thus far. But...
Yeah, there's a few more.
We are now moving on to music original song. Take it away.
Okay, so we have The Fire Inside. I'm Just Ken from Barbie. It Never Went Away from American Symphony.
The song from Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yes. And What Was I Made for Barbie?
This is the most obvious category we've seen so far.
Yeah, it's What Was I Made For, I think, is going to win this one.
No. No, it's I'm Just Ken.
I love the song, but I don't know.
You have to think back on the history of this category and remember that Man or Muppet won this exact award.
Yeah, that's
something. And it's that song's good.
But if I'm picking what I want to win, or what should probably win, you know, I won't say that because I don't know that I've even heard a couple of these.
No, but the only one I remember off the top of my head is I'm Just Ken.
What Was I Made For was the one that made everyone cry.
Well, we don't like crying at the cinema. What are you talking about?
Okay. That's just blatantly wrong.
That's a blatant lie from me. Yeah, no, I don't know. I think it's going to be something from Barbie because they're stacked, obviously. But I just kind of want I'm Just Ken. I think that it has the cultural relevance to win. It's also like, I guess sad songs can win because the Falling Slowly from Once won in 2007. But it's not 2007 anymore.
Let's go back.
Yeah, I miss the Spider-Man 3, Shrek the 3rd, Fantastic Four,
you know,
Rise
Never
of the
mind.
Silver
you know
Surfer,
what? I'm good where
Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
Yeah, never mind.
I'm Meet good. The Robinsons.
The fact that you know that many movies released
in
2007 is scary.
No Country for Old Men.
Oh, yeah, There Will Be Blood, yeah.
Yeah. But
what a year.
That actually is a really good year comparatively to 2024, but time will tell. So yeah, something from Barbie, I think, is our consensus.
Yeah, something from Barbie.
Speaking of Barbie, it did get nominated for Best Picture. And this category is American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. Is there normally 10 nominees in this category?
Yes. I think maybe two or three years ago, they made it to where it's always going to be 10 now.
Okay.
It used to be
8.
It used to be, like, it could be up to a certain number, and then they would just nominate what they felt like.
Yeah.
But no, I think now it's always 10.
See, I don't like that because there's so many movies here.
Well,
it makes it really hard to choose.
I mean, not really.
I mean, but no, I my money is on the same two things that I keep saying. It's, for me, it's either Holdovers or Oppenheimer.
Okay.
And I honestly think it's going to be Holdovers.
I would love that. I would absolutely love that. Holdovers is just like, it's a movie that the Academy would, 100% vote for to win.
No, I would say it's an Academy bait movie to an extent.
Now, I think that the big snub of this category is, once again, Across the Spider-Verse.
Right, because even Into the Spider-Verse was nominated for Best Animated Feature that year.
Yeah. Come on. You can take Maestro out. Let's be real about it.
Right. You can also probably eliminate, like, Poor Things.
You definitely can't do that. You definitely cannot do that. The slander is insane.
Where's The Color Purple?
That's all. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Interesting.
Where's Bottoms? This entire list. Where is Bottoms, dude?
Yeah, okay. I'm just kind of, where's Blue Beetle is the question. That's the one that we're all waiting to see where that
one
pops up.
Didn't it get nominated down yonder?
I think it might have.
No, it didn't. Okay, well, we'll get there.
But no, I think this category is going to come down to, I don't think there's any chance that Poor Things wins this category.
No.
I think it's going to be Oppenheimer or Holdovers.
Yeah.
I think that's the two. But I'm really glad to see Past Lives made it in.
Right. Like, I'm glad to see all these films getting recognition just in the form of a nomination.
Yeah, especially when they didn't get any of the acting nominations for Past Lives. To me, that was a little bit insane. At least Greta Lee. Like, there was no reason for that.
No. I haven't seen it, but I agree. Well, the next category is production design. We have Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I think there are two contenders in this category.
And there's really just one.
It's either Barbie or Poor Things.
I mean, I can see what you're saying. But yeah, Poor Things to me is number one.
But here's the thing. There was a worldwide shortage of pink paint because of Barbie.
That doesn't necessarily make it good, though.
No, but it makes it pink.
But I will say the production design in Barbie was great.
It looks like this room caused a shortage of green paint in Wilmington.
It actually does look like that. But no, I think like Barbie Land is awesome.
Right.
But I just...
Once they go to the real world, all that awesomeness is gone.
Yeah. I don't think it should be that should necessarily take away from it, but I just think Poor Things was better.
Yeah. I mean, let's be real, though. It's probably going to go to Napoleon and we're all going to be angry. Tell me I'm wrong.
Napoleon.
We've avoided talking. I think the Best Picture may have been the first time this one popped up.
Did it get nominated for Best Picture? There's no way.
No, it didn't. Okay, I think this is the first time we've seen Napoleon outside of costumes.
Yeah, there's a reason we just avoided talking about it. It's not really worth talking about.
No, Napoleon's like such a mid-tier movie, and I don't know. I found it to be too animated to be in this category. But on that flip, I wouldn't have minded seeing Across the Spider-Verse out here. I don't know if they do production design for animated films, but they should.
Yeah, I don't know that they do. I'd be very, like, yeah, it's crazy. I just don't know why Napoleon's here.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be Barbie.
You know what? No, I'm going to say this. I don't think the production design of Napoleon is that bad. I'm just overall have a disdain for that movie.
Right. How you feel about Napoleon is how I feel about Poor Things. That's not true at all.
No, I don't think so. Like, I don't hate Napoleon. Not going to get into it now, but there was a lot about that movie that was just frustrating.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Well, I think this is going to be an interesting category to look through when the time comes. Animated short film. What do you think of this list?
Yeah. So we've got Letter to a Pig, 95 Senses, Our Uniform, Pachyderm? Okay.
I don't know.
War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko.
So clearly I have a bias.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say. Again, I haven't seen any of these.
No, I haven't either, but because of the Beatles, clearly it has to be War is Over.
I'd be curious to see it.
Yeah, I wonder if it's available online. Hold on. This is the brilliance of having a computer right next to you.
Oh, wait, I lied. I have seen one of these.
Which one?
The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar.
Oh, wait, that was... No, we're an animated short film.
Oh, you're right. Sorry, my bad. I forgot.
I was like, bro, that's not animated.
I jumped ahead. That's on me.
I can't tell if it's the full movie or not, but there is a 5-minute video on the studio's website, so we'll have to watch that after this. Cool. But yeah, I think this could really go to any of them. Animated short film is always a wild card unless there's a Pixar short in the running, and I don't think there is this year.
Yeah, shorts are always kind of a blind spot just because I don't really get to film festivals, so
right,
it's very rare to see them pop up anywhere.
And of the festivals that I go to, I don't normally make it to the animation blocks in the first place. So, live action short film. The Wonderful Henry Sugar is the only one I've seen. Yeah. But the other nominees were Night of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue, Invincible, and The After. I feel like this might go to Henry Sugar because it had a much higher like production quality than most short films I've seen.
It's also just Wes Anderson.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I feel like that's probably where it's going to go. I mean, it was also good, but...
Yeah.
I can't really compare it to anything else on the list because I haven't seen them.
I need to go back and rewatch it because I was in the Morden Hall screening room with Jenny and Jessica. I don't know why I just name dropped them, but it was before the MFA screening, and we watched it in there, and it was so echoey. And I also missed the last 5 minutes because I was getting Chick-fil-A.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm curious to see what will happen with those. For sound, which I believe is actually sound mixing, but I'm not entirely sure.
They've just combined sound mixing and editing.
I disagree with that wholeheartedly, but anyways, they're very different things. We have the Creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Part 1. That is a mouthful. Oppenheimer and the Zone of Interest.
Actually, they actually changed the name. It is now just Dead Reckoning. It is no longer Part 1.
Well, the Oscars posted this today.
I'm just saying.
The film...
I'm saying the Oscars didn't do their research.
The film was submitted as Dead Reckoning Part 1.
That may be true. But it has officially been online. It's now is no longer called Part 1, so meaning they're probably just going to... make the next title something else.
Which I'd be fine with. Dead Reckoning was a weird title in the first place. I actually really enjoyed Mission Impossible 7. I wished that it would have ended. Did you see it?
Yes.
Okay, I was like, I couldn't remember if we ever talked about this. I actually was hoping it would have ended on a much bigger cliffhanger than it did. Because imagine the sheer balls if Tom Cruise drives off the cliff, the shot that we saw in every single trailer, and then the movie just ends, and that's literally the cliffhanger.
I don't think you could get away with that, and then, like, have people want to come back and see something else.
The only person that could get away with it is Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I couldn't get away with it, but Tom Cruise could.
Well, yeah. But, no, that movie's fine. Like, I think it's really good, but, like, in that franchise, just being good at this point is just not enough for me.
Yeah. I mean... I don't know why this is turning into a random side tangent on Mission Impossible, but I know someone who like legitimately hates that particular installment and has been review bombing it around the internet. I hope you're listening to this, pal. But anyways, I thought that it was on par with the previous three movies. And I think that's the thing, is that it's like really good, but it doesn't do anything to excel the franchise forward.
Correct. I mean, and it follows Fallout, which... I adore. I think that movie is top tier action filmmaking. So
right. I mean, I would say the not the fifth one. That one has some cool set pieces, but specifically Ghost Protocol, the Brad Bird one. I love that one. And then the fifth one's okay. And then Fallout's just like, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I that's agree. Kind of the strike of it. But anyways, for sound, I've seen three of the five.
I think it's, I mean, I haven't seen Zone of Interest. I hear that sound is a big component of that film.
Right.
But of the ones I've seen, Oppenheimer is probably the best. But again, that could change the moment that I watch Zone of Interest.
Yeah, I've seen The Creator a couple times now, and I don't think that that one would be up there. And Mission Impossible, I mean, yeah, it didn't stand out. So I think Oppenheimer is my go-to in this one. Speaking of snubs and Oppenheimer, we have the visual effects category, which notably lacks Oppenheimer.
Yeah, that one wasn't even on the short list.
No, no.
Which was crazy, because, yeah, that was insane.
Which I guess the Academy has shifted to being, like, more interested in animated effects. I don't know why I said animated so weird, but as opposed to... practical effects. And I think it's interesting because when you start talking to people in the industry, the practical stuff is referred to as special effects, and then the animated is referred to as visual effects, and the category is specifically visual effects. Right. So, but I don't care because this is the only effects category now.
I just noticed that Napoleon's on this list.
Yeah, Napoleon. What the heck?
Yeah. No, I mean... it's fine.
So I'm just going to go and say it. Am I Dead Reckoning Part 1? That's negative. The fact that they replaced a ramp with a hill does not mean it has good special effects, in my opinion. Napoleon, also a negative. So that leads us to debate between The Creator and I would say The Creator and Godzilla.
I mean, Guardians, that one's...
it's okay.
Okay.
It's just okay.
But I will say, Godzilla Minus One was great.
I need to see it. It's on the list. I keep hearing from everyone. Like, there's the professor who, every time he mentions a movie, I'm just like, you watched that? I don't actually say this to him, but today he was like, I watched Godzilla Minus One. And I was like, huh, I didn't know you were into that. But anyways.
Okay, let's not talk down to Godzilla Minus One.
No, I'm not talking down to it. I'm talking it up.
Okay.
If my man's is into it, then it must be good.
It's very good.
Yeah.
I've been saying this.
Well, you liked Poor Things, so I don't know if I can trust you anymore.
Okay, I feel like we agree. I think like 65% of the time we're on the same page.
That's fair. Anyways, in my opinion, this category is the creator. I know it's probably going to end up going to Guardians, but when you think of it as being an achievement in visual effects, I think the creator was able to do a lot of stuff in camera and merge it with the CGI in ways that, like, Guardians is really just shot against a green screen. And there's a difference in that to me.
I can agree with you on that.
But what's your take?
I mean, out of all these, to me, it's probably, the creator.
Yeah.
But a close second for me is Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah, I think that's a very accurate take.
Yeah, I just think that the Godzilla design was, I really enjoyed in this movie.
Yeah. All right, so writing adapted screenplay. This one, kind of interesting to me, in the five choices. There's one in particular that I think the entire world was kind of shocked that it's here. And they are American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. Barbie, while being an original screenplay, because it's based on a pre-existing IP, was thrown into the adapted category, which I think is going to kind of hurt that script overall, because if it was an original, it might have... Okay, it didn't have a chance down there, but if it... you know, you get what I'm saying, right? It's just, it feels weird to lump it into this category.
Right.
And also, where's the script for Across the Spider-Verse?
It's not. Like, again, I don't know what happened.
Yeah. I demand to know.
Yeah, I do think that we should just, like, you know, Clockwork Orange these people and make them watch Across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, I think that would go over well. And then we'd, like, make a name for ourselves in the industry.
Or be in jail. I'm not sure.
Well, we'd still make a name for ourselves.
For sure. People would remember.
They will remember Across the Spider-Verse, but they'll never remember me. Anyways, yeah, I think we're going to have a different opinion on this one. I'm Team Oppenheimer, and I assume you're Team Poor Things?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But here's the thing. If they're adapting it, shouldn't it be an adaption?
Well, it's an adaptation, technically. Mm. They just did it in a different way, which is fine.
Yeah.
It's the same story.
Huh.
But, I mean, I think to me it's Poor Things, and then I guess, honestly, it might be American Fiction, but I haven't seen it yet. But from what I hear, it's a very good screenplay.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it, too. I heard it's playing this weekend here in town, by the way.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so we'll have to look into
that. We'll have to check that out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that there's a bad choice on this list. I also love how pretentious the American Fiction and Oppenheimer credit is, because most of them are just like written by or screenplay by. And Christopher Nolan wants you to know it was written for the screen.
Oh, yeah. He has to let you know.
It's like, no, I didn't just write this for the heck of it. I wrote it for the screen.
I would love to see somebody be like, you know what? I see this screenplay, but I'm gonna make it a stage adaptation. And they try to do Oppenheimer, and it just, I mean, it's obvious it was written for the screen.
It's like creative writing students that like bring in either fiction stories or stage plays to a screenwriting class, and they're like, hey, yeah, I can just adapt this. And I'm like, well, maybe you should change the descriptions.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a very different format.
Correct.
I don't think there's a wrong category or wrong answer to this category. It's just like, I want Nolan. That's all. I need him.
I think at some point in the night you're going to get Nolan, so I think you'll be fine.
I want him to win this and not directing.
Really? I have the opposite opinion.
Interesting.
But... that's neither here nor there.
It's neither here nor there.
I think that in this movie he directed much better than he wrote.
Well, yeah. That's the thing, too. If we're going off of the actual writing of the screenplay, not just the line delivery, The screenplay itself is not written particularly well because of how he chose to do it in first person. I pre-ordered the paperback version. And when you're reading it, you don't really get a sense of the environments that Oppenheimer and company are existing within. You only get a sense of what he's thinking. And so it reads much more like a novel than it should for that reason.
I also just think that they don't actually read the screenplays.
No, they're going totally based off of how the screenplay was directed. So,
correct.
Yeah. Well, that leads us to the last category of the evening, writing for the original screenplay. Would you take us away?
Yeah, absolutely. So first was Anatomy of a Fall.
Okay.
The Holdovers.
Yeah.
Maestro, May, December, and Past Lives.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is going to go to Holdovers.
I hope so, because it was great.
I mean, I've heard fantastic things about Past Lives, but...
But I'm also, yeah, I'm kind of team Anatomy of a Fall on this one.
Yeah.
Because that screenplay was incredible.
But wasn't May, December based on a true story?
Sort of. They took inspiration from real people.
I was going to say, I was surprised that one wasn't in the adaptation category.
Yeah, because technically they're not actually the people.
Oh, it's like a hustler situation.
Right. Like, yeah. It's inspired by true events, but it's not really, like, a lot of the stuff in the movie. It's literally just the characters, I think.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
And they're not even, like, the same names. They're just inspired by them in a particular interview that they saw.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I think that this is a fairly strong category as well. And that's why I was saying, like, if Barbie was moved down here, I don't think it would stand a chance.
No, this category, other than Maestro, which I...
Well, yeah.
It's fine. Anything else in this category, if it wins, I go, it was well-deserved.
Right. I mean, again, a movie I kind of wish that we'd seen in this area. I don't know if it's based on anything, but I really enjoyed Bottoms. I thought that was a really unique screenplay, but it's not the sort of thing that the Academy is looking for.
Correct, yeah. I think it was too much of a straightforward comedy for them.
Correct.
But, you know.
But it was fun.
It was fun, I have to say. It was a great movie. It's
fantastic. But yeah, that is it for our Oscar. I sound like a penguin now. That's it for Brian and Landon's Oscar predictions or opinions. Thank you for listening to that. Hopefully we record one of these sooner than like a year.
Yeah. Down whenever.
Yeah. Well, anyways, again, thank you all for listening. Next time, we'll probably, instead of talking about Oscar nominations or wins, we might actually discuss the wins. But we'll definitely come back and discuss a particular film. So be on the lookout for that. And live long and prosper. Do you have anything else to add?
Nope, that's it.
All right. I'm just going to keep talking. Have a good one.